Welcome, Bankless Nation, to this edition of State of the Nation. Today, I'm without my fearless partner, Ryan. He has gone on vacation. The AI is powered down. Yet, like all episodes on Bankless, we persist nonetheless. Today on the show, we're bringing on Hayden Adams. He's going to be the second time he's ever been on Bankless, and the first time that we've ever done a live stream with him. And Uniswap just announced something. If you go search the interwebs, that announcement just came out. They announced something. And it does indeed include the word airdrop, but no, it is not the Uni token. So we're going to go into all those details. It is no, here's a small hint, there's no coincidence that it's happening during the week of NFT NYC. So we're going to talk about everything that's going on over on the Uniswap Lab side of things. And also, I just want to pick his brain as an OG DeFi founder that built something really, really cool in the 2019-2020 bear market that exploded in 2021. I want to pick his brain about how he's feeling in the world of crypto at this present moment and what he's thinking about. But of course, we're going to dive down the rabbit hole of what the hell is up with what's going on over there at Uniswap Labs and what they're up to over there, because they're doing something cool. It might change, might surprise a few of the listeners who are tapping into this live stream right now. And thank you for all the listeners who are tapping into the live stream. Make sure to like and subscribe, because that is how you get notified of all the alpha and watch all the cool stuff that's going on around the Bankless Nation and around the crypto universe. This, of course, is the State of the Nation. It comes at you every Tuesday, where we cover the news and weekly events and news cycle events that go on in this crazy world that we call crypto. And before I ask myself what the State of the Nation is, because Ryan's not here to ask it for me, we got to talk about one of our friends and sponsors, Notional, because if you are feeling frustrated by the chaos of the crypto markets, perhaps a fixed APY DeFi money market, DeFi, the thing that didn't break in the last 2 weeks or so, where everything centralized broke, DeFi did not. And you can go to Notional, bankless.cc/notional with a capital N, to borrow or lend and get a fixed rate APY. So whether you want to borrow Ether or lend Ether or borrow USDC or lend USDC, Notional will give you a fixed rate that you can count on, with the auditability and transparency and dependability of DeFi, unlike all of its CeFi counterparts that collapsed in the last 2 weeks or so. Guys, I got to ask myself, what is the State of the Nation? Because the State of the Nation is we are back on the frontier. Uniswap, the beloved DeFi app, Uniswap Labs, going in a slightly different direction this week in the world of DeFi and getting into something perhaps a little bit unexpected. And you guys probably have hinted, gotten the hint that since it's going on during NFT NYC, it might be something NFT-based. And so we are back on the frontier. We are in the bear market. We are in the build market. And people are expanding their products and expanding their horizons into new frontiers. And so, David, what is the State of the Nation? The State of the Nation is we are back on the frontier. So guys, I'm going to go get Hayden Adams. We're going to bring him live right after we get to some of these fantastic sponsors that make the show possible. Rocket Pool is your friendly, decentralized Ethereum staking protocol. You can stake your ETH with Rocket Pool and get our ETH in return, allowing you to stake your ETH and use it in DeFi at the same time. You can get 4% on your ETH by staking it with Rocket Pool, but you can get even more by running a node. Rocket Pool is the only staking provider that allows anyone to permissionlessly join their network of validating nodes. Running a Rocket Pool node is easier to set up than running a solo node, and you only need 16 ETH to get started. Why would you do this? You get an extra 15% staking commission on the pooled ETH, so your APY is boosted. So if you're bullish ETH staking, you can increase your APY and get some extra tokens by adding your node to the decentralized Rocket Pool network, which currently has over 1,000 independent validators. It's yield farming, but with Ethereum nodes. You can get started at rocketpool.net and also join the Rocket Pool community in their Discord. You can find me hanging out there sometimes in the chat, so I'll see you there. Aave is the leading decentralized liquidity protocol, and now Aave V3 is here. Aave V3 has powerful new features to enable you to get the most out of DeFi, including isolation mode, which allows for many more markets to be launched with more exotic collateral types, and also efficiency mode, which allows for higher loan-to-value ratios, and of course, portals, allowing users to port their Aave position across all of the networks that Aave operates on, like Polygon, Phantom, Avalanche, Arbitrum, Optimism, and Harmony. The beautiful thing about Aave is that it's completely open source, decentralized, and governed by its community, enabling a truly bankless future for us all. To get your first crypto collateralized loan, get started at Aave.com. That's Aave.com. And also check out the Aave Protocol Governance Forums to see what more than 100,000 DAO members are all raving about at governance.aave.com. Arbitrum is an Ethereum Layer 2 scaling solution that's going to completely change how we use DeFi and NFTs. Over 300 projects have already deployed to Arbitrum, and the DeFi and NFT ecosystems are growing rapidly. Some of the coolest and newest NFT collections have chosen Arbitrum as their home, all the while DeFi protocols continue to see increased usage and liquidity. Using Arbitrum has never been easier, especially with the ability to deposit directly into Arbitrum through all the exchanges, including Binance, FTX, Huobi, and Crypto.com. Once inside, you'll notice Arbitrum increases Ethereum speed by orders of magnitude for a fraction of the cost of the average gas fee. If you're a developer who wants low gas fees and instant transactions for your users, visit arbitrum.io/developer to start building your dApp on Arbitrum. If you're a degen, many of your favorite dApps on Ethereum are already on Arbitrum, with many moving over every day. Go to bridge.arbitrum.io now to start bridging over your ETH and other tokens in order to experience DeFi NFTs in the way it was always meant to be. Fast, cheap, secure, and friction-free. All right, Bankless Nation, I am pleased to bring back on Hayden Adams, the inventor of the Uniswap protocol and CEO of Uniswap Labs. Like many of us, Hayden got into the crypto industry by being convinced by one of his friends to get into crypto. So he does the ritual rite of passage by buying the top of 2017 and rode it all the way down. And then during the bear market, instead of leaving this industry, Hayden did something cool, which was invented Uniswap. Hayden has been on the podcast just once before, and now he's back to debut something pretty damn cool. Hayden, welcome back to the show, my man.
Thanks so much for having me.
Of course, of course. And before we get into the detail and the alpha and the announcement that's coming out of Uniswap Labs, I just want to do like a quick feelings check-in, just because like I think that's kind of what everyone's really looking for. Ether price, Bitcoin price, crypto prices stabilized. We're not for at least 7 days. So like maybe we're feeling a little bit good, but a lot of people are overall like down bad. And this was both you and I, like, you know, like I said, the rite of passage into the crypto world for us. So as somebody who has been through the bear market and bought the top of 2017 and rode it all the way down, like overall just feelings check-in. How are you feeling right now?
Is down in the markets. But I'd say that, you know, I guess the way that I view it is markets go up and down really fast. And they sort of still oscillate around this like fundamental value that's being built. And you know, what's been so exciting is over the past 3 years, you know, since the last time around, there's just been this like steady progress of new projects and value that's being built and developed. And so, you know, I think that we saw this last time around with the ICO boom, where there was this massive amount, you know, everything went up a huge amount and everything went down a huge amount. But out of all of that was some new fundamental technologies that were being built and developed. A lot of the, even like the early ICOs funded a lot of the early work into DeFi. And then in the, out of the 2018 bear market, you know, we had all these different projects, MakerDAO, Uniswap, Compound, that were built and launched. And that helped set the stage for the next, you know, for the next round of new projects. And, you know, so we definitely have, maybe the thing that's most different this time around is that there does seem to be, it used to be that crypto, like the thing that affected the crypto market was always things that were happening in crypto. And I think something that's a little bit different this time around is that there does seem to be some element of like macro effects as well, where crypto now has maybe grown to be big enough that it's affected by things that happen you know, around it in the world. But you know, to me, something that's really exciting about these times. One way that I think about it is that, you know, any project can do well when everything is rampant speculation and, you know, when everything is up. And then I think what happens in the bear markets is the projects that do well are the projects that have the most fundamental value and you know, real use case. And so I think bear markets are real time for discovering, you know, what is really working, what just seemed like it was working and wasn't actually working. And you know, out of that, we'll be able to develop the next set of use cases and the next set of projects that you know will set the stage for Web3 in the future.
And you know, judging by how Uniswap Labs is making announcements and just knowing you as a person, doesn't really sound like you're going anywhere during this bear market. You're gonna stick it out and wait until the next bull run.
Yeah, it's pretty funny because a lot of people are new to the space. And so definitely people will reach out and be like, are you okay? Like, and, you know, for us, right, we're building for the long term. We're here because we see the fundamental value and promise of this technology. And, you know, I think we're still very much in the early days of the projects and the value that we built. So we're definitely not going anywhere. We definitely have a lot that we're working on. you know, some things being announced today, some other things probably being announced later this summer. So we have a lot going on. You know, our team has grown a huge amount. When we launched V3, we were about 12 people. So when we launched V1, it was one person. V2 was four people. V3 was 12 people. And today we're about, the announcement today, about 85. So our team has grown a lot. We're parallel processing some stuff. We're really pumped and excited. You can see this is our Soho office. You can see a lot of people here hanging out, having a good time.
Yeah, wow, that's pretty damn good growth. Does that 85 number, as crypto prices go down, does that 85 number of you know, heads that you have to employ, does that number scare you, or are you feeling good about that?
I think that, you know, we're feeling quite good about our positioning today. I'd say that we didn't grow too fast, and we're definitely slowing down a little bit now. We had a big growth spurt, but we had a lot we wanted to build and we're working on right now. And so, we definitely have plenty of runway to build through the bear market. And, you know, we're probably not going to grow to like 300, you know, we're going to slow down our hiring, for sure. No issues on our end there.
Slow down the hiring, but not end the hiring. I love the sound of that. Uniswap still hiring some people here and there. One thing that listeners that have paid attention, I have made my way over to New York, Williamsburg, and so I actually got to take a peek around the office a week ago. That's where we chatted, and I got a little bit about the details that we're about to release today. And so from my perspective of things, this is just the first of a number of things that is being worked on at Uniswap Labs that we'll about to get into that announcement shortly. From my perspective, like, Uniswap Labs is going in a handful of different directions, not just one different direction. And let's actually talk about Uniswap Labs. You wanna say something? Go for it.
I'd say that we are working on a number of different things at once, but it's all with sort of a clear, unified, you know, vision and mission. Mm-hmm. And something that we're working towards. And I'd say as the different pieces come out, it will sort of start to come together.
Cool. So we're getting some breadcrumbs. We're getting some puzzle pieces. We're going to unveil the first puzzle piece today. And over time, as more and more puzzle pieces become clear, we're going to be able to map them together and see what the hell is going on over at Uniswap Labs. And the last topic I want to get through before we actually talk about, I'm teasing the hell out of the Bankless Nation right now. The last topic I want to get to before we get to the actual information that got released is Uniswap Labs versus Uniswap Protocol. Can you explain the difference between these two things? Who is leading the progress of the Uniswap, the protocol, and who is leading the progress of Uniswap Labs? Because you've said a lot of we, right? You know, Uniswap started at one person, and then Uniswap V2 started at four people. Uniswap V3 had 12 people, and now you're at 80 people. You said we a lot. Who's we? And like, how do we think about the differences between Uniswap Labs and Uniswap Protocol?
That's a really good question, and I hope it will be very clarifying. So Uniswap Labs is a company. We're a software development company, product development company. And the Uniswap protocol is a decentralized protocol for exchanging, tokens on Ethereum and on other EVM chains. Much the way that the Ethereum Foundation or Consensus does not, unilaterally control the Ethereum network, the Uniswap protocol is decentralized. We're kind of like the Satoshi or the Vitalik of the Uniswap protocol, in that, you know, we helped. And by myself and other people at the company helped create the protocol, but, you know, it's highly decentralized. It runs on its own. It piggybacks off the decentralization of Ethereum and other blockchains, and, you know, allows people to trade tokens with each other peer to peer. There's of course also the Uni token and the Uniswap governance system. Way back in DeFi summer, the ideas and values that came out was community ownership and community participation. Giving communities and early participants almost like a say and part of the direction of decentralized platforms and projects. And so, you know, the Uni token and the Uniswap governance system is really, you know, meant to be a system that exists around the Uniswap protocol, governing the Uniswap protocol, and, you know, overseeing its direction. When we speak about decentralization, there's a lot of different types of decentralization. To me, the most decentralized thing, right, is something that is automated and autonomous and can run on its own without any governance required. And so that's why, you know, the vast majority of the protocols, functionality and functions don't require any active governance. And so, you know, people can add liquidity and trade against each other, and there's no sort of unilateral ability for governance to prevent that or to control that. But when it comes to, you know, future growth and development and funding an ecosystem of projects around it, you know, having, I'd say that like the next tier of decentralization is, you know, broader distribution and ownership. And so, you know, when we did that, you know, the original Unity airdrop, right, a big part of that was giving, you know, a lot of ownership to the early, you know, community members and users. And so now, you know, there's, you know, further decentralization of that part of things. So Uniswap Labs, and you know, out of the Uniswap governance system, we've had a whole bunch of separate independent teams and projects spin up with direct funding from the governance system and that report back to the governance system. So, you know, the most popular, or I'd say like the most successful initiative probably to come out of governance, although it's been a whole bunch, is probably Uniswap Grants Program, which, you know, is led by Ken, who, you know, before used to lead the Ethereum Foundation Grants Program. It was actually a funny story about Ken. He was on the grant committee that helped get Uniswap its original grant from the Ethereum Foundation back in 2018. And so now, you know, he's leading the Uniswap Grants Program. Since, you know, he put a proposal directly to the token holders and governance system and received some funding. And since then, he's allocated it out to, they just put out a retrospective, 120 different projects in the ecosystem, teams all around the world that are all building different interfaces, education, tools, you know, strategy, liquidity strategies, all these different things built on top of the Uniswap protocol. So Uniswap Labs, you know, and you can almost imagine, if you look at the Ethereum ecosystem, the role of governance is similar to almost like the role of the Ethereum Foundation within Ethereum. And then, you know, Uniswap Labs is actually a little bit more of something that looks like a little bit more like consensus, in that we're building, you know, consensus also has core development contributors and teams. But in addition, you know, consensus is building a whole bunch of products that are built on top of Ethereum that are valuable for the Ethereum ecosystem. You know, mutually beneficial, right? They succeed if Ethereum succeeds, but you know, Ethereum also succeeds with you know, the addition of their products such as Infura and MetaMask and all that. And so very similarly, you know, Uniswap Labs, the company, we have some, you know, smart contract developers, but you know, in addition, we are also building a number of products on top of the, you know, within the broader Web3 ecosystem that you know, we think are really important to the growth of the ecosystem. And so, yeah, I mean, I can pause there if you have sort of follow-up questions, can keep going, but that's kind of a rough breakdown.
Yeah, right. So we got the Uniswap Foundation, which, you know, Bankless listeners will remember we once ran
an app. It's Uniswap Governance and Grant Programs.
Right.
But
Excuse me. Uniswap, yes, yeah. Right. The governance system, the uni grants whole, and all that stuff. Bankless listeners will once upon a time remember the Uniswap ad that we ran on Bankless, and we got that through the Uniswap Grants Foundation, or is it Grants Foundation? Grants Program.
It's a Grants Program.
Grants Program.
Yeah.
Right. So we submitted
they
a grant.
Submit governance proposals directly to the governance system.
Right. And so like that's
and
how
voters vote on that.
And that's how like the ad, the Uniswap ad came on Bankless, but we didn't go to Uniswap Labs for that. We went to Uniswap Grants for that, and that was answered by the Uni token holders. The Uniswap Lab side of things kind of seems like a product software layer on top of Uniswap, in the same way that you like alluded to, consensus is like a product layer on top of Ethereum, but there isn't actually like one core consensus product. There are many, many, many products that are built by consensus around the Ethereum ecosystem. And same, could I extrapolate that to Uniswap Labs too, as in there are many, many, many products being built by Uniswap Labs that will surround Uniswap the protocol? How do you feel about this distinction?
Yeah, I'd say that, I think that that's right. With the added like, I'd say that Uniswap Labs is, you know, our primary product today is the Uniswap web app, which is, you know, the most popular interface. It, you know, it does around 20% of trading through the protocol. And, you know, another, you know, 80% is done either directly with the smart contracts, by arbitragers, by bots, by other interfaces. So, you know, that's our primary product today. And it primarily serves as an on-ramp and gateway to the protocol. But I think that moving forward, Uniswap Labs is really, you know, excited. Maybe one way, like one way I approach even what we work on and what we build, what we want to do is we want to, you know, we're not working on DeFi or Web3 or Ethereum just for its own sake. We're doing it because we want to add value to the world. We want to build things that people can use that improve their lives. That's really like something that we anchor in everything that we do is, you know, is what we're working on something that will, you know, be better for society, will be something that will, you know, be useful to users. And historically, the vast majority of our work was on these initial, you know, protocol versions. And, you know, there's still a lot of protocol development and research and stuff that, that we want to think about. And be, I think that, you know, even when you look at the state of Uniswap today, the Uniswap protocol has something like 70 to 80% market share in decentralized exchange. Mm-hmm. And very few people will say like the core blocker to further growth of Web3 and DeFi is, you know, efficiency of the Uniswap protocol, right? The core blocker is, you know, the difficulty onboarding, you know, the difficulties in the user experience, people not feeling like they understand the use cases or how they can apply it to their daily life. Like the, all the things that connect these core underlying protocols, which I think do are extraordinarily valuable and useful to their daily life. And so I think that a lot of what we're working on today, you know, especially as we've grown as a team, is things that take, you know, Uniswap and other Web3 protocols and make it, you know, more useful and accessible, easier to use, because that's what we're working towards, right? That's the point of all of it. There's no point in anything we're working on if no one uses it. And so, you know, we're looking at serving both like a consumer user audience, people, you know, everyday people who want to use Web3, as well as, you know, a developer audience, making it easier to build on top of, you know, Uniswap and other protocols, as well as a, you know, professional trading audience. So there's a lot of different people, all of whom are have various pain points and struggles when it comes to using this stuff. And so, you know, we're really excited to build a whole suite of products and tools that will make it, you know, a lot more accessible.
Right. So the answer I just heard is that you think that there is a ton of latent potential in the Uniswap V3 code, the Uniswap V3 software that's on Ethereum, and that in order to unlock that full potential, we need some like Web2 styled or just like software layers on top of the Uniswap V3 code that is built for so many different use cases. You listed a few, just like retail access, like professional tradings, and like all these other like use cases that can be built out of the protocol around with other utilities as well. Would that be a good summary?
Yeah. Basically, you know, Uniswap V3, but you know, also Ethereum and Web3 more broadly. You know, I'd say that not 100% of everything we'll ever do in the future will be entirely on Uniswap V3. I think that there's like a lot of other sort of ways that we can add value to the ecosystem. For what it's worth, it's not our first time that we've done, you know, even like, you know, a simple example is like the token lists project that we released a while, which, you know, today is like the canonical way that people like create lists of ERC-20 tokens. It's a small thing, but it's like a contribution to the ecosystem. And there's a lot of different ways that we see ourselves adding a value to Web3 more broadly as well, in addition to making, you know, unlocking the value of the Uniswap protocol.
Okay, I think I've definitely teased the Bankless Nation enough. We've provided definitely enough context. So Hayden, let's go ahead and go right into this actual announcement. Give me the deets. Give me the deets, my man. What's the alpha? What happened? What did Uniswap release? What's going on?
Yeah, so I'm going to start with saying that, you know, today the world of ERC-20 tokens and NFTs are almost viewed as like two separate ecosystems. People think of it like the NFT community, the Web3 community, the DeFi community. It's sort of viewed as like these two separate things. The thing that excited me about ERC-20 tokens is that they represent digital ownership. And, you know, there's sort of there's almost like the file format for digital value or something. And, you know, to me, NFTs represent, the same thing, right? It's just two different types of ownership. And they're both, you know, really powerful. And, you know, the ideas of ownership is really important to me. I think that, you know, there's so much value that exists in the world that to me is almost like potential value. It's like, you know, people, you know, the value of a community or the value of something someone creates. You know, but because of the way that like value exists today, in that like it's very difficult to create a new asset. It's very difficult to interact with new assets. And if you create some new asset, you have to sort of create an entire financial system for it. And different asset classes have completely different infrastructure. I guess I'm still teasing, but yeah. I think that's okay. So different asset classes have, you know, completely different infrastructure. And if you want to build like a new asset, you have to kind of figure out where does it fit in. You know, some types of assets don't have any infrastructure at all, right? And so, you know, to me, what's so exciting about ERC-20 tokens is that they help unlock, you know, the ability to create new assets, represent ownership, you know, with the Uniswap protocol, create markets for that ownership. Because you might own something, but if you can't sell it, you can't exchange it, do you really own it? Not really. That value is all like locked up. For what it's worth, our mission statement at Uniswap Labs is unlock universal ownership and exchange, which I don't think we've ever really, we've teased that, but I don't know if we've ever said in that way.
That's
and,
news to me.
You know, universal to me means for everyone and everything in a standard way. You know, ownership, to me, like so much wealth in the world accrues to people who own things and people who are able to create and represent the ownership of things. And, you know, historically, I think that a lot of value has accrued disproportionate to people who have early access to owning something. And so, you know, unlocking sort of a more universal form of ownership and exchange to me will help, you know, lower barriers of entry to creation of value, to creation of wealth, and ultimately create a more fair and equitable world. And that's, you know, what I'm working towards. And that's what, you know, our company, and it doesn't just come from me. It was like a very long process across our entire team to get to that mission statement to our values. And so, okay, I think I'm teasing enough. With that in mind, you know, NFTs are a big part of digital ownership. A lot of value can't easily be divided, and that's you know where NFTs come in. And I think we're only in the very early days of them, and we're very early in the days of just like the interplay between ERC-20 tokens and NFTs. So that's why we're so incredibly excited to, you know, announce that Uniswap Labs has acquired Genie. Genie, for people who don't know, is the first was the first NFT marketplace aggregator. So I think most people know, you know, about OpenSea and other NFT marketplaces that let you buy and sell, you know, NFT and discover NFTs. Genie basically lets you buy and sell and, you know, and discover NFTs across all the different marketplaces. So, you know, in addition to OpenSea, LooksRare, Coinbase NFT, Rarible, you know, all the different NFT marketplaces. And so, you know, we acquired their team. There were a team of around 15 people. They're going to be joining us, and we're going to be working on unifying our two products and building in a full NFT experience directly into the Uniswap web app. I think, you know, in parallel, we're going to be working to improve the experience for all our existing users, token holders, or token, you know, people who want to trade tokens and access liquidity pools, and work towards, you know, a much more unified experience across the two, and essentially become, you know, a marketplace for all digital value as opposed to just ERC-20 tokens.
And so, Hayden, you didn't just see what I was just showing on the screen, but I was just showing the Genie front end. You weren't able to see that in Zoom. And so the viewers were able to get a tease for that. And so I think the going back to like the statement, the vision of Uniswap Labs of just like democratizing ownership and access, what you're saying is that Uniswap Labs doesn't care about the form factor of ownership. It just thinks that ERC-20s, ERC-721s, ERC-1155s, it doesn't matter if it's just a token that you own. Uniswap Labs is focused on democratizing access to ownership and it's using its Genie by acquiring it to spread that power all across the internet. Is that the kind of the high level summary here?
That is said perfectly, probably better than I said it. And I'll add that, you know, we as a team are bringing a huge amount of expertise and knowledge from the ERC-20 space. I think the NFT space is, while it's been around for a while, is still a little bit younger in its earlier stages than the DeFi space, both of which are pretty new things. And you know, it's also not our first foray into NFTs, for what it's worth. Unisox, we got one here. Unisox was a project we launched in spring 2019, And was, I think, the first instance of NFT liquidity pools, basically NFTs that are backed by real world assets, in this case, physical socks, and NFTs that can be kind of exchanged for ERC20 tokens. I think some people might realize they're on the bank list. So the Unisocks have been around for a long time and is also one of the first instances of crypto fashion. And then in addition, at the Uniswap V3 launch, we had two things that came out for NFTs. One was the Uniswap V3 launch video. We launched as an NFT with People Pleaser, and that actually spawned Pleaser DAO, mm-hmm. and a whole bunch of things that came out of that. And then the Uniswap V3 LP positions were also NFTs, and were basically the first or one of the first instances of on-chain generative SVG art. And so I think that we're definitely bringing with us a lot of experience in the smart contract space, a lot of kind of, I think we're also known for just being very rigorous about making the user experience as simple and safe feeling as possible. I think a lot of people, at least to me, have come up and told me in the past that Uniswap was like the first time that for them, crypto or Web3 felt like usable. And so we're trying to bring, everything we brought to the ERC20 space and bring it with us to the NFT space. So we're really excited. GM, I guess.
GM. Yeah, I'm about to play a video, but just a real quick. When Uniswap launched V1, it was like groundbreaking because we were all used to order book exchanges. And now, like, going back and looking at Uniswap V1, like fast forwarding 4 years or 3 years or however long it's been, 3 years, looking back at Uniswap V1, where it was only ETH pairs, there was no concentrated liquidity, like now it seems so primitive. And I'm wondering if we're seeing that same, not to call your baby primitive, Hayden, it's made great strides. But like now I'm wondering if we're kind of on that same trajectory with NFTs, because like NFTs are also in very much need of liquidity and more liquidity tooling. And so I want you to think about that question while I play this cool, awesome promo vid that you guys threw to me a little bit before the show that kind of will help, I think, illustrate Uniswap and NFTs and the intersection of these things. Podcast listeners, sorry, you're going to just hear the music, but here we go. Right, so there was that. So yeah, NFT is going to get built into app.uniswap. I can't remember the URL. It just auto-populates in my browser. But the main Uniswap front end owned by the labs. And so it is eventually, like, not only am I going to go to the Uniswap page to swap my ERC20 tokens, but also to swap my NFTs. Is that kind of the idea?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's just a starting point. But and also, by eventually, I think you should think, like, fairly soon. I don't want to promise a date, but it's definitely not something that we're expecting to take an extraordinarily long time. I think that the first starting point is basically going to be adding a new tab, actually potentially two new tabs, but we can talk about people who are diligent watching the video might have seen there are other new tabs as well. But adding a new tab for NFTs, you can explore NFTs across all the marketplaces. You'll be able to buy them from directly within the site. You'll be able to list them as well, bid on them. We hope for people who want to come into the space, buy an NFT. You don't want to think about which marketplace has the liquidity that you want. You can come straight to Uniswap.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, Hayden, there is an airdrop in this conversation. And so I want to pick your brain on that. But before we do that, that is just perfect tease to tell the Bankless Nation all about. There's an airdrop coming. So we're going to talk about that in the second half of the show, right after we get to some of these fantastic sponsors that make the show possible. There is a brand new staking feature in the Ledger Live app today. We all like staking the assets that we're bullish on, and now you can stake 7 different coins inside the Ledger Live app. Cosmos, Polkadot, Tron, Algorand, Tezos, Solana, and of course, Ethereum. With Ledger Live, you can take money from your bank account, buy your most bullish crypto asset, and stake that asset to its network, all inside the Ledger Live app. Through a partnership with Figment, Ledger also lets you choose which validator you want to stake your assets with. And Ledger is running its own validating nodes, offering a convenient way to participate in network validation, and it even comes with slashing insurance. Ledger Live is truly becoming the battle station for the bankless world, so go download Ledger Live. If you have a Ledger already, you probably already have it, and get started securely staking your crypto assets. The Layer 2 era is upon us. Ethereum's Layer 2 ecosystem is growing every day, and we need bridges to be fast and efficient in order to live a Layer 2 life. Across is the fastest, cheapest, and most secure cross-chain bridge. With Across, you don't have to worry about the long wait times or high fees to get your assets to the chain of your choice. Assets are bridged and available for use almost instantaneously. Across bridges are powered by UMA's optimistic oracle to securely transfer tokens from Layer 2 back to Ethereum. A token proposal is being deliberated as we speak in the Across forum, where community members will decide on the token distribution. You can have your part of Across's story by joining the Discord and becoming a co-founder and helping to design the fair launch of Across. If you want to bridge your assets quickly and securely, go to across.to to bridge your assets between Ethereum, Optimism, Arbitrum, or Boba networks. The era of proof of stake is upon us, and Lido is bringing proof of stake to everyone. Lido is a decentralized staking protocol that allows users to stake their proof of stake assets using Lido's distributed network of nodes. Don't choose between staking your assets or using them as collateral in DeFi. With Lido, you can have both. Using Lido, you can stake any amount of your ETH to the Lido validating network and receive ST ETH in return. ST ETH can be traded, used as collateral for lending and borrowing, or leveraged on your favorite DeFi protocols, all this without giving up your ETH to centralized staking services or exchanges. Lido now supports Solana, Kusama, and Polygon staking. Whatever your preferred proof of stake asset is, Lido is here to take away the complexities of staking while enabling you to get liquidity on your stake. If you want to stake your ETH, SOL, or MATIC and get liquidity on your stake, go to Lido.fi to get started. That's Lido.fi to get started. All right, Bankless Nation, we are back for the second half of the show. Hayden, there's an airdrop coming. Can you talk about the details of the airdrop associated with Genie?
I can lightly talk about the details. Yes, one airdrop, and you guys definitely succeeded in teasing that one. So I'd say, you know, something that we even actually saw recently with other acquisitions that have happened, I think that a lot of early supporters and community members, right, you know, we talked about this earlier even on the show, is that, you know, the idea of rewarding and sharing with the early community members and participants in projects. And so, you know, in acquiring the Genie team, we didn't want to leave the Genie community and users behind. And so we're going to be, you know, doing as part of the acquisition, we allocated a bunch of money to basically airdrop to historical Genie users. So the airdrop is going to be in USDC. I think it's going to be everyone who's used Genie more than once. Is going to get at least some USDC, and then they had an NFT that they had released a while ago, and some people who own their NFTs will get a little bit more. But you know, full details will be announced soon. You can't farm this airdrop. We have we checkpointed it to before we made the decision to do it, just like with the Uni launch. And so, no way to farm it. But all the early users of Genie will be rewarded. And share in the value.
So what's the, this is the first airdrop that I've heard that is of a stable coin rather than like a brand new native token. So like there's literally just not a valueless governance token being airdropped, straight up like cash. Can you talk about a little bit about that choice?
Yeah, I think that historical Genie users can choose what they want to do, right? If they want to, cash it out to their bank account. If they want to, buy ETH to reimburse for the gas that they spent in the early days, if they want to buy Uni, if they want to, whatever they want to do, they can do it. And so I think it's just about, giving the recipients, a choice. It definitely made some of the accounting easier in terms of on our end. We really just wanted to, reward the early Genie users and then they can choose. Because there's the Genie protocol is more of a routing protocol. It's not a liquidity protocol itself, and they didn't have their own token. So doing it in USDC seemed to make the most sense.
But why do an airdrop at all? If this was like a private acquisition of Uniswap Labs from another private company, like why pay the community any money at all?
Because again, where did the value in Genie come from? How did Genie get to where it was? It was off its, it was because of its early users, its early community members and supporters. And so, when we acquired Genie, we wanted to reward the early users and supporters of Genie. Rather than, obviously the Genie team members and founder and stuff got, were rewarded. But we also wanted to make sure that some of the value was set aside for the early community members who used it as well. And, if they come along and become, Uniswap NFT, community members, then we're very happy and would love to have them.
Is there still, I'm going to go ahead and guess you're not able to answer this question, but I'm going to go ahead and ask it anyways. Is there still the possibility of a Genie token on the table?
I think that is highly unlikely. Okay. So I don't think people should speculate on that that is highly, highly unlikely.
Okay, so you said you've acquired not just Genie the product, but also the team. I think you alluded to like 12 people. Have they, now that they are a part of Uniswap?
It's more like 15.
15? Okay, well, congratulations to all of them. Yeah. I think joining Uniswap Labs is a pretty awesome opportunity, especially if you guys are growing and growing all your resources. Are you, as CEO of Uniswap Labs, having them pivot what they are doing at all? Or are they just going to continue doing exactly the same thing that they were doing prior?
Yeah, so we're fully integrating and merging our teams. And by the way, I just want to shout out, working with them on this acquisition over the past month or two has been really it's been really great to work with them. We wouldn't have done it if we hadn't clearly aligned on the vision and the values and the mission. Throughout all of it, their founder Scott has been and the rest of their team has been really awesome to work with. Their whole team is now working towards what we're calling the unification. It will all be one unified team. That's really, basically merging the two products. So building their features and functionality directly into the Uniswap web app. And that's where we're going to start. And so there's definitely some work to do to get to that. And to get to sort of feature parity with them today in our experience. But then from there, we're going to work together on a unified unified roadmap across tokens and NFTs. There's going to be one team, and we're gonna work towards a vision for the app.
Well, as somebody who always ends up going to Uniswap to swap my tokens, and then kind of gets confused as to where I should go to swap my NFTs, I'm excited to have that kind of all put into the same space. I'm also interested to see how the pricing dynamics work out. And it's also, I think, important to note that Genie is not an NFT marketplace. It's an NFT marketplace aggregator. And so that hopefully should just add just quality of life improvements, but also perhaps pricing optimizations too as well. Would you say that's a fair take?
I think that we're really excited to take all of our knowledge and experience when it comes to trade routing and aggregation, routing and trade execution, smart contracts, and really optimize and improve on what already exists in the NFT space. Mm-hmm. So I think that, there's definitely a lot of, beyond that, getting to a world where, you can swap any token for any NFT, sell any NFT for any token and have it be a really seamless experience. So I think that that's definitely something to look forward to.
What else can we glean from this? So I don't think anyone woke up this morning thinking that Uniswap Labs was going to acquire an NFT marketplace aggregator. What lesson should we learn from this? Is like what else Uniswap Labs is getting up to? Like what else is going on in the future roadmap of Uniswap Labs?
I don't know if I can make more than one announcement today, but I guess what I'll say is that, don't know if I can leak all the alpha, but first off, there's a lot coming for our existing users as well. There's a lot we're going to do to kind of improve the experience. And we really want to sort of, a lot of people, as you said, use both NFTs and ERC-20 tokens. And we want to really work to support, both of our user types, as well as, start to better support again, our early days were all about the protocol. Today, we're all about, you know, making it more accessible. And so, you know, I think historically, I guess this is some alpha. I'd say historically, you know, the Uniswap web app has done a really good job splitting the difference between a lot of different types of users. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that is like creating new token pairs, like providing liquidity with a lot of capital efficiency, providing liquidity with little capital efficiency, you know, swapping tokens, day trading. There's like a lot of different users for the Uniswap web app. And I think part of it is because there's this really simple, easy experience. But I think that something that I've started to feel really strongly, as well as the rest of our team, is that by kind of continuing to try to split the difference, we're almost not going simple enough for the most for like the new users, and we're not going, you know, and we don't have enough features or information for the more advanced, complex users. And so I think that what we're really interested in doing is making sure that we're building not just support, you know, our consumers, our swappers, our NFT users, but also our you know, LPs, the liquidity providers, the professional traders, and just make sure that we're like building things for everyone, and improving the experience for everyone. And so I'd guess, you know, maybe something to glean is that there's a lot more coming, both on across all of that, as well as developers. A few other things that we think about is just like, again, maybe even further out, when I'm thinking like years out, to me, the just the world of Web3, Web3 is like, it's like the next iteration of the internet, right? The internet democratized, you know, information and access to information and the ability to spread, share information. And it did a lot of it on the backs of standardized information sharing protocols. You know, SMTP for emails, and, you know, HTTPS for websites, and even like, you know, whatever the you know, stuff is behind, I forget what the wiki standard is. But anyway, there's all these different protocols that are how and primitives people to put together to build the internet. And to me, Web3 is about adding in, you know, ownership across different forms of value, exchange across different forms of value, you know, and all the, and a whole economy, you know, built directly into the internet. And I think, I guess some other thoughts I have here are like, first off, like that's what we're working towards. But then I think that, to bring it to the values that we have, again, the internet can be used for good and for bad. But I think everyone knows that like the internet has been democratizing in many ways and has increased access to information. And so I think similarly, like, we want to build towards the positive use cases of Web3. I think ultimately, you know, the same way that the internet was very, very, it's community oriented, very social, you know, culture is really important. These are all, you know, immensely important to Web3. And I think that like, it's going to, you know, you're going to start to see like a convergence. You know, today there's like a lot of separation between like the social platforms, the cultural centers, and the financial institutions. And I think here we're going to start to see like culture and ownership and community. And so here we're going to start to see like ownership and value, you know, brought much closer to culture and social interaction. And it's all going to kind of swirl together. And, you know, we're really excited for it. And I think that there's a lot, you know, going beyond this initial vision and what we're working towards in the short term, there's like a lot in the long term we can do to start to make, you know, again, like ownership and value a lot more accessible, a lot more like culturally present and relevant, and a lot more social community oriented. And so that to me is like a really exciting frontier. And to be honest, like having, you know, fungible and non-fungible value feels like an important, having both of those feel like a really important stepping stone to getting into this like broader world of cool things that are going to be built. And they're not all going to be built by us. They're going to be built by a whole world and community. There's a lot of, you know, something that we didn't really touch on is like competition and competitors. And the thing I'll say that there's like so much value to be built. We don't necessarily view that what we're doing here as like strictly like, is that like that strongly, or to the extent that it's competitive with something, it might still really be positive sum. For what it's worth, that was one of the biggest takeaways for me from the whole Sushi saga, is that I think it was ultimately very positive sum. with Uniswap, and ultimately a lot of value came to Uniswap from it. And I think similarly, we're going to see that in the NFT space. While there's a lot of different teams, and they're going to all have different users and maybe even be competing or not competing, in general, it's going to be really positive sum. There's going to be a huge amount of value that's going to get built out of all of it. There's just like a lot of value in cool things to go around. And so we're really excited to also just like collaborate really closely with other people in the NFT community and world. And build towards a better future.
I think if there's one thing that I really took away from this interview, Hayden, is that there is so much left to do that a lot of people aren't really paying attention to. A lot of opportunity on the table for teams that you might not have expected previously to seize. I did not have on my 2022 bingo card Uniswap Labs acquiring an NFT marketplace aggregator. But after you've explained it to me, it totally makes sense, especially in the context of democratizing asset ownership. And so, Hayden, I am excited to see what else Uniswap Labs has up its sleeve, and also really just what the whole entire industry has up its sleeve as well. It seems to be that the bear market really presents a lot of surface area for growth and opportunity for the people that are willing to take it. So, Hayden, next time Uniswap Labs does something cool, you make sure to hit me up. And we will bring you back on to talk about it then. Thanks for coming on, my man.
Yeah, thanks so much. Thanks so much for having me. It's been really great talking to you.
And so we will get all the links for checking airdrops and claiming airdrops into the show notes shortly after this. So thank you, everyone, for tuning into this special episode of me flying solo. But I got Hayden Adams here to do it with me. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Make sure to like and subscribe, because it's where you get all the alpha. It's where all the companies come and release all their announcements, especially if it's got an airdrop involved. And so if you have an airdrop coming your way, you make sure to hit up Bankless, because we'll do a show on it. Risk and disclaimers for everyone, of course. ETH is risky. Crypto is risky. NFT yield aggregators are probably, or not yield aggregators, marketplace aggregators are probably risky too at some way or another. You can lose what you put in. We are headed west. We're on the frontier. It's not for everyone, of course.